His name is Sean Stone. Say hello to Sean, everybody. How you doing, brother, man? I know you wanted to go on vacation. You're going to travel and everything. So I really do appreciate you doing this, man. Epic. So right off the bat, I want to get the elephant out of the room. You know what I'm about to say. You are Oliver Stone's son. And we're not going to spend more than about 10, 15 seconds just qualifying. But most respect to the family. Absolutely unbelievable, man. Epic. And you were JFK Jr. in the movie JFK.
Not JFK Jr., but Kevin Costner's son. I was young Jim Morrison, though, in The Doors. So there you
Hell
go.
Hell yeah. That must have been absolutely freaking phenomenal. And I'm a little familiar with growing up with famous family. I've got Charo as my aunt, who's Coochie Coochie on the guitar. So that's always been kind of like an anomaly, and I kind of understand all that. So, yeah, man, kudos, dude. A lot of respect to you, to the family, to everybody. I want to get into some of the craziest shit. Like, I don't really know how to sum any of this up, man. 2020 was about as far-fetched as I've ever experienced. You know, I'm 140 years old, man. So, like, just touching up on this insanity, dude. For me, it started with Kobe. I don't know if you like basketball or anything like that.
Kobe and COVID, actually. When COVID first hit, there was this thing about how, like, if you Google search the Hebrew characters for COVID, it was the same as for Kobe. It was kind of surreal. Yeah, it was pretty surreal, you know.
Yeah, no, I've got a little dog in the room, you know. Welcome to social distancing. It'd be a lot better to be in person. By the way, all the way from Miami, Florida, which I definitely love. Yeah, man, Kobe was a big influence, and that blew me away. So I named my little half Chihuahua, half mini pincher Kobe, and he's right underneath me right now, man. But it just got a little weirder with COVID, man. And I contracted COVID. I had it for about 5.5 days. My dad gave it to me. And I'm going to have to say, like, I don't understand what everybody's going through, but for me, it was about 5.5 days of the worst coughing, the strangest. Like, I couldn't taste, I couldn't really hear much. It was just absolutely insane, but I got over it. And what's going on right now with the mutation and everything like that is nothing short of freaking me out. You know, I don't know how you're handling it down there in Miami, like what you've been up to with all this. I know you've been distancing and doing podcasts and stuff like that, but how the hell has it been affecting you?
Well, a lot of things to talk about, you know. First of all, just on Kobe, when he died, I was down in Ecuador, and I didn't know what day it was, you know, because I don't lose track of time. And I was like, is it Sunday? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, is it the Grammys? Oh.
That's right. It was the damn
Grammys. Because I know there's a long history of this. When you really look at the dates of some of these events in the 2010s, especially, it got really surreal when you had the deaths of a celebrity, like almost every year for a certain period of time. Whitney Houston, I think it was on the Grammys, the night of the Grammys, or that day night. Her daughter.
Something bizarre, wasn't it?
Her daughter then 2 years later on like the same, either it was not at the Grammys or it was another major event. If you look at the award shows through the 2010s, almost every award show had a major celebrity die in conjunction. Philip Seymour Hoffman on the eve of the Super Bowl in 2012. It got like super surreal for that time period. So, you know, when you start looking at the nature of reality and how there's a dark side that uses ritual and energy feasting, harvesting, in conjunction with these major events where a lot of people's energy is focused, the death of Kobe to me was very suspicious. So I just have to say that kind of, you know, kicked off the year in a way that was like, wow.
I don't mean to stop you, man. I'm glad you said it was very suspicious because it kind of freaks me out too, man. I've got on my computer, like, saved the route. I've got like some security footage from the audio of somebody who was living right by the actual crash, and you can hear it, man. And it's just, for me, the cops, they pulled all their birds out the sky. They didn't have any freaking helicopters out there. The news didn't even have any damn helicopters. You know what I mean? What the hell was he going up doing? Not to mention, I don't know the name of the pilot right off the bat, but he was trying to ascend, so he says, to 4,000 feet and ended up doing a nosedive. He apparently lost track of where he was. Number one, what the hell are you doing out there? You know what I mean? Number two, how does that even happen? I don't know. Like, it hit me so hard. I cried for 4 days and drank a lot of tequila. It was kind of like one of those things, man. But yeah, man. So
So suspicions on that. Then the year kicked off like crazy. Suspicions on COVID. You know, I like the documentary Plandemic Indoctrination. I think that's a very powerful expose, you know, in terms of who benefits from this, how the media had scripted a lot of the dialogue, a lot of the, look, I said the protocols. I mean, I remember like, you know, Fauci saying at the beginning, knowing the truth, this is a SARS COVID virus. SARS, you know, these things have been around. A lot of, you know, there are many COVIDs before. This is just one of the, you know, later strains that I think was, you know, if it was engineered, it, you know, I say it's probably, I know they've been tampering. They've been tampering with the SARS thing since 2003. And that's true. Like in terms of the North Carolina Chapel Hill, I think it is. There's like a scientist there that actually had like the first patent in 2002-3 time period. That's all in the Plandemic documentary. And then, you know, this variation of it that came out, probably, you know, tampered with in the Wuhan area. You know, after the first few weeks, I just wasn't freaked out about it. I just realized, no, it's more fear.
It really is a lot of fear, you know, but if you're a little elderly and you've got lung problems and stuff like that, I mean, people have been dying. So
people die. But, you know, the thing is, you know, why does the media silence all the treatments for it? You
know, what the hell with the vaccine? I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
That's where, you know, I mean, that's where, you know, there's something wrong because, you know, I don't care if you, you know, hate Trump, like Trump when he's, you know, he said hydroxychloroquine. So people said, oh, that's not true. Go back to the old National Institute of Health studies back on the original SARS in 2005, saying hydroxychloroquine is like a miracle drug for treating SARS. Okay, this is a new evolution of it. Many doctors have come out saying we've treated our patients with zinc and hydroxychloroquine, and we've had tremendous success. So just go from the doctors who are out there, you know, working with patients, having success, right? So the media shuts them up. The media then censors that. You can't talk about hydroxychloroquine.
I'm sorry about that, but like when I heard something about how the vaccine actually killed a healthy doctor, you know what I mean? Like shit like that actually starts to get under my skin because look, I already had it. I don't know if I can contract maybe the new one or whatever like that's all about. But as far as my family's concerned and everything like that, I don't want them to take a damn shot if it's going to jeopardize where they're coming from. You know what I mean? And at the same time, does it work? Does it not work? I have no goddamn idea.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I mean, look, I can't give medical advice, but I can tell you that every year there is a new strain of flu. Every year there's new strains of colds. That's what coronaviruses are. They're traditionally colds, right? That's why you have a bad flu season and you get like, you know, some years they would say up to 70,000 to 100,000 dead in the US alone, not just globally. Okay. Last year, Johns Hopkins study came out and there was, you know, one of the studies, I'm sorry, one of the doctors at Johns Hopkins did a study for them saying there's been no spike in deaths this year. Instead, you've had less heart disease related deaths, less diabetes related deaths, less flu and pneumonia deaths because they've all been lumped into COVID, you see? So there was actually no spike overall in 2020 in deaths because what used to be, hey, you got, you know, lungish, you have a comorbidity problem and you got the flu, you know, and then you died, right? Or you have cancer and you get the flu or pneumonia, you know, you get pneumonia. I mean, listen, I was 15 years old or 14 years old. I got the flu and got pneumonia, okay? I could have died at that age. So this is why just to me, we're talking about a virus that's not a particularly deadly virus. If it was a particularly deadly virus, you would see kids dying.
Exactly.
So it's not a particularly deadly virus. What it does is it's just as colds, flus, and any other these other viruses that are out there, it can affect you. And if you have comorbidities, if you have a weakened, if you have diabetes, if you have a weakened immune system, you know, surely it can kill you. I know 50 plus people, some of whom are in their 90s, some of whom have had cancer, some of whom, you know, have had all kinds of health issues and they survived it. So I'm sitting here going, how can you literally justify this idea of masking, isolating, and shutting down the entire economy over this virus? It's not about a virus. It's not about a virus. This is about complete social and political control of population.
You don't think there's any population control coming in from that angle either?
Yeah, population control, which is population reduction overall, but in the meantime, control the population. Population control means control the population, right? Your movements, you know, your everything. I mean, you're sitting here, you're packed in a plane with a mask on that has like, you know, 90%+ penetration rates, and you're all breathing in the same air, and you're supposed to be like keeping it safe. Like, come on, like how stupid do people have to be to believe this stuff?
It's so nuts, man. It really is. And everywhere you go, like, I want to play it safe for my family's sake, you know, people I care about. I don't want to be contracting something again or something and bringing it home. But I don't know how much of it is fear-based and how much of it is actual fact, which, you know, I don't want to jump into that Marjorie Taylor Greene crazy shit, but like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot.
What does she say that's crazy?
Well, what hasn't she said? Well, I don't know. What side of the fence are you on with this whole election and this whole Donald Trump
thing? The election had super fraud. Mike Lindell's documentary is awesome. I haven't completed it yet, but you know, it's just stuff. It's just, there's video footage of the ballots. You know how you say of the ballots being taken out in Atlanta, the trucks coming in Michigan and Detroit. You know, Michigan, like all this stuff that we've known for months, because it's common sense. You see, 2020 to me was an assault on common sense. It was basically saying, do you have common sense? Are you a human being with common sense, or are you basically going to follow whatever we tell you? Common sense is, hey, if you're wearing a mask, but you can take it down to eat, there is no point in keeping the mask on at that point. Okay? That's not common sense. Okay. Common sense is, hey, we actually need to expose ourselves to viruses and to germs and to each other, because that's how our immune system grows. You see, like when you're a kid, your immune system is like, it gets strong because you get exposed to germs, you put things in your mouth. That's how you build an immune system. If you're putting masks on kids and making them breathe their own bacteria for hours, and not letting them have like a full oxygen, that's just common sense. Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like people have lost common sense. The election, Trump was up on election on November 3rd, November 4th, in the middle of the night, they have hundreds of thousands of ballots come in, 90%+ for one guy. Common sense tells me something's wrong. And no one actually was like, and you didn't have like full oversight when that happened. And then, you know, like, there's a whole chain of custody issue. And then for 3 days afterward, they're still counting ballots in Pennsylvania. And for a week later, they're still counting in Arizona. There's problems in this election. If that was Trump, by the way, and like Biden was up, and then the next day Trump won, everyone in the media would be screaming that this was fraud. So I'm sitting here going, where's common sense gone, people? Like, why can't we, why do we have such an aversion to common sense that we need to be told, well, this is what the media said, this is what Dr. Fauci said, this is what the Democratic Party said. Why can't you think for yourself anymore?
I don't factor in a lot of what they say, really. I mean, I've been seeing this insurrection shit. I mean, it was obviously premeditated. There's no way people are showing up with pipe bombs and all this stuff. They had chairs for everybody. I don't know. I personally would urge people to vote. But I mean, I am 41 years old, and every single election, to my recollection that I've been around, it's always been some dumb shit like this. It really, like, from freaking Al Gore and Bush back in the day with Florida and all the, oh, I don't know where everything's, it's always been like this. I don't want jury duty if something's not going to work out like correctly. Well, you know what I'm saying?
It's because it's called election. It's not called an election. It's called a selection. Now, that's until Trump. Trump was a wild card. Trump did threaten the system. Trump was not. That's why even the Republican Party, there were a few people in the Republican Party standing up challenging it. Most Republicans are saying, oh, no, let's just lock step with the Democrats here and say there's no election fraud. That tells you everything. You see, that is the psychology of these people. They're in a, that is the swamp for you. That is the deep state. That is like, you know, oh, no, we have to all agree upon this so we can go about politics and business as usual, right? Well, there's no business as usual if you let your country get taken over and destroyed. And I'm saying from everything, from our freedom of speech, from freedom of assembly, our election process, the computers being hacked, the foreign intervention issue, the issue of China's involvement in this whole thing, going back to the virus itself, and the globalist agenda beyond China that really has since I know this because I worked on a book called New World Order. The globalist agenda has been to destroy the United States of America, going back over 100 years.
New World Order, Sean's involved.
Right?
I'm just baffled at the whole thing. Like, the only reason I thought Trump was cool, and I shit you not, is because I couldn't stand Hillary. And I know there's a lot of people out there like, I just couldn't fucking stand her, dude. Like those weird little, like those open, like,
you like Kamala then? I mean, you like Kamala. Kamala is like Hillary 2.0. Biden, I think, is actually worse than both of them. I think Biden is he's a very sick person. I mean, you just look the way that he touches little girls on camera, and that's just what we see on camera. And how, look at the girls' reactions. Like, people say, like, oh, you know, well, you don't know if he's a pedophile. Yeah, but you know what? Look at the video of him sniffing and touching little girls in terms of like those photo ops, and just look at
Biden. Right now?
Biden just tells you everything. Those little girls' expressions tells you all you need to know about that person.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like Trump's a goddamn angel either, man. But like, it's just,
of course not.
My family, we're predominantly Spanish. You know what I mean? Like, my cousin, his father, my aunt's. See if you can follow all this. My aunt Charo's husband, and I know this is kind of bizarre, but he shot himself in the head a couple of years ago, and that was due to like side effects from prednisone and all this crazy shit. He was like 78 years old, and just made him suicidal. And shit happened. But anyway, point being, we're all immigrants, man, except for my dad from Michigan. So it's even, you know what I mean? My pop's from Michigan and the rest of us from like, God knows where. So, and I'm playing with my dog here. You can meet him. This is Kobe. He won't leave me alone, so I'm going to bring him in. It's Kobe, man. I'm telling you, I've got a little jersey in the mail for him. It's going to be cool. But no, but that was the funniest part, is how Trump was so, we're going to build a wall and we don't want anybody here. And he's married to Melania. And like my family, who are literally immigrants, are like, we love this guy. He really, I don't know how that worked out, but like he won a lot of people over. But as far as separating kids from their parents and the shit, like there's still 611 kids out there who have not been united with their parents, something astonishing. Like,
look, I don't know the details on that. I know that policy was actually from the Obama Biden era, that detention of kid separation of families.
That pissed me off.
But here's the thing, Obama Biden administration deported, to my knowledge, at least as many, if not more, immigrants. Actually, that was a huge legacy of theirs. More importantly, Trump's policies on human trafficking, I mean, from the people that actually work in this field, they're like, hands down, this guy actually took an initiative. He actually did executive orders. He actually did fight human trafficking. So people want to talk about 611 kids. How about the thousands of kids that have been rescued from human trafficking rings and the cartels that have been broken up under the Trump administration? So people are, their media is such full of shit. And this is why
I'm such hypocrites.
They only focus the mind on that, which they say like, oh, this is the bad part, but they don't even focus on the policies that he's doing to actually help things like kids in the human trafficking ring. So come on, there's something off here.
That's the thing. Is I don't know enough about the politics that are going on. It's like in front of my face, let alone what the fuck I can't see. You know what I mean? So whatever's going on behind the curtain and stuff like that is what it is. But it was kind of tough to stomach, though. At the same time, he did take initiative. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, there's a lot of shit that goes on with a lot of that scenario. But at the same time, I mean, bring us your huddled masses. You know what I mean? So it's,
you know, but here's the thing. Trump's immigration policy, it was not like, hey, we're not letting people into the country. It was literally, you got to do it legally. And the problem is the Democrats are pushing a lot of this, like, you know, we're just going to now count, you know, all the illegal immigrants, and we're going to start to bring them in, because they're trying to, they're doing the old tech. This stuff goes back to the 19th century, you know, let's get the Irish drunk and make them and have them vote for our party. You understand? Let's give you guys free, you know, free beer.
Okay.
That's what this is about. This is about politics. This is about literally buying votes. That's what this is about. This is not about like, hey, this is actually going to help the American people. And I think that Trump, to you know, flaws and all, was the most sincere and actually caring about the America as a country, wanting to keep the jobs here, wanting to bring, our economy grew in his time period. The bottom third of the economy grew in his time period, by the way.
I hate that I agree with you. Because honestly, like, as obnoxious and psychotic as this all was, not to mention there's a lot of comedians who wish he was still here, by the way, especially Trevor Noah. I'm like, what the hell is Trevor Noah going to do? Because like most of his show, what's going on? You know what I mean? But like, look, he did kind of break down some walls. You know what I mean? He did kind of say it how it is and stuff. So in that sense, it was enlightening. But there's just so much, like the insurrection. Let's hit that one up, dude. Like that's absolute bull. Like, well,
Before
I get into the fact that people died, I'm a little confused as to why the police officers killed themselves. You know, there were two suicides after that shit.
Thank you. Why? Because
like, I don't fucking get
are you kidding me? The Capitol insurrection was, first of all, what insurrection? you know, which one? Because you're talking about, you know, the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that were in DC for that weekend, and many of, you know, most of whom were there to support Trump. You don't think that they, if they were genuinely trying to have an insurrection, they would have taken over the Capitol with that crowd? You're talking about a few thousand, maybe a few hundred or thousand people getting into the Capitol.
It was pretty damn gnarly though, man. I mean,
no, but the actual insurrection into the Capitol, which was a, literally, it was an operation. I mean, haven't you seen some of the people that have arrested were like BLM connected or Antifa connected? They literally walked in with cameras behind them. It was a photo op. Didn't you not see the gates like being open? Like literally police officers like, oh, we're just done. We're letting them through. You know how hard the capitalists infiltrate? This is as probable as the plane hitting the Pentagon.
What I wanted to say is, how in the crack do you infiltrate the god darn Capitol? How do you do that? Like, that should be stinking off limits. And I don't give a rat's ass where it's located. If it's an American capital, like, there's no way, dude. Like, try to rush the museum in Albuquerque. They're going to blast your ass. You know what I mean? The Capitol? But people died, dude. Chicks were stampeded on. People got shot.
Like, I mean, I think a couple, I mean, it was not very, okay, you want to talk about the protests this year? And like, I don't denounce the BLM and the other protests that have gone this year, but you know how many people died in those? How many, to me, what's more offensive, the destruction of small businesses. Whenever there's like these protests and the riot starts and the small businesses are destroyed, that's actually more offensive to me than the American citizens getting into the Capitol, which is our Capitol. See, the problem is that we've lost sight of that in this country. We've lost sight of the fact that this is our government. The United States is written by, it says in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that it's about we the people. We the people are the ones that empower the government, not vice versa. We're not like this European conception of government being above us. That's a very European oligarchic worldview. That's the old worldview. The American worldview was actually we the people empower the government. That means it's our buildings, it's our Congress, it's our government. And the problem is they've lost sight of that. They think that they own and rule us. And that's what offends me. And that's what I actually like about Trump, was that he went there and said, the deep state is here. It doesn't matter who it is, Republican, Democrat, you are not responsive to the American people. No president ever spoke that way before.
It is kind of ironic, man. I mean, I was in a metal band for about 11 years called Treason, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? But it had nothing to do with like the government or our country or anything. It was just like more so like rules and regulations and guidelines that I've given myself that basically stunted me into like this mental psychosis of like, is this it? Fuck that. So like treason, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it was off-putting to see like, you know, the QAnon bastard, what was his name? The QAnon shaman, like that.
Come on,
guy.
Man. This guy literally has a sign that says QAnon sent me. Do you really believe this? Or come on, like people got to use common sense.
I don't know what I'm like, what's happening.
Guy that literally is dressed and he literally like the Simpsons has the replica of him with the horns, right? Come on, do you really think that this is just, this is not an operation?
Oh, it has.
Fucking Boston Tea Party shit going on. So there's both, I think there were both infiltrators and I think that there was military and patriots that were both infiltrating, but it wasn't the masses. The majority of the people that were there supporting Trump, they did nothing violent. So you're talking about a vanguard. So if I'm going to sit there and I can say about every single protest, every single movement, there's most people that actually agree with the movement. And then you have a vanguard that actually is going to go in there and, you know, infiltrate. And you know, in that process, the people get killed? Yes. But as I said, it's not like you were intentionally going there to blow up the house. By the way, you know who did that? The head of the BLM, one of the heads of the BLM, what's her name? I'm forgetting, Sandra something. She actually did blow up the Congress many years ago. Did people forget about this shit? Now she's a fundraiser for BLM. This is not, like, I'm just saying reality is not what people think it is. Reality is so much more complex. And so just as a symbolic move for people breaking into the Capitol, power to them, man. I don't think that they broke in. They were let in. There was infiltration operation. Hey, symbolically, you see American citizens in the Capitol with the fucking fist in the air. Power to them. What the fuck? You don't think that the Capitol's being the Capitol's being defiled every day by these Congress people? These Congress people that, by the way, a few years ago had 17% approval rating by the American people.
Hang on, Sean. It's the deaths, and it's also the hang Mike Pence. And it's the beating somebody up with a fucking fire hydrant and saying kill him with his own gun and putting out a noose, like out in the front. I mean, it was
I like the noose. I'll tell you something. Noose, right. Symbolically, what do you do with traitors? You know, what does it say in the cost? What does it say historically, traditionally, and I think even constitutionally? Hung for high treason. Listen, these people, believe it or not, are traitors to this country. I hate to tell you this. These Congress people, a lot of these people in power and politics, they are absolute traitors to the United States of America. They literally are there to take your money, to make money for themselves, and to basically send your money off for the overall agenda, which is, as I said, New World Order agenda, which is over 100 years old, which is an attack on the American Republic. These people are not loyal to the United States of America. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is loyal to the United States of America? Do you think that she really cares about American citizens? I'm just saying, like, how sick these people are, how disgusting these people are. Honestly, let me tell you who Biden is. Let me just go through the hit list of Biden alone. Because Biden, I know his career a little bit, right? In the 70s, he was known as the guy who didn't want to who wanted to keep schools segregated because he didn't want his kids going to school in a jungle school with black kids. Okay, that was in the 70s.
Yeah, he did say that. That's fucking
BS. No, he, as a politician, he was opposed to desegregating schools. Okay, in the 90s, he's known for what? In the 80s, he did some presidential candidacy. Didn't go very far, right? In the 90s,
he would go so far and fuck himself up.
In the 90s, he's known for what? One of the omnibus crime bills under Clinton, right? I think 94, that basically did the stop and frisk, that saw more black men than ever being thrown into jail, right? So that was who Biden was. He wrote that bill, okay, in the 90s. Thereafter, he was involved in writing the anti-terror bill for the Oklahoma City bombing. That became the Patriot Act. Biden is on record bragging that he wrote the Patriot Act. He's like, they took my bill and they turned it into the Patriot Act. Okay. He's on record for that. After that, he worked with the neocons in architecting the Iraq War. Okay. This is after he was a big proponent of architecting the Serbian War. Okay. Which again was all about terror bombing. He even's on record, you know, terror bombing. We got to bomb the bridges, got to bomb the city, destroy Serbia, right? This is, and again, very similar. Serbian War was very similar to Iraq. Actually, in many ways, it was worse because it was actually about protecting the KLA's heroin trafficking pipeline that they were working with CIA to move heroin drugs, right, through Kosovo. So they wanted Kosovo to be under their sphere of influence, economically, politically, everything. Thereafter, he becomes vice president to Obama. And what does the Obama administration proceed to do? Everything the Bush administration does, including destroying Libya instead of Iraq. Libya was their claim to fame, putting ISIS into play in Syria to splinter the Middle East, which was actually written by Biden in his own words, saying that we should basically balkanize, which is what they call balkanization, was the principle of destroying a country and separating it into regions. So he wanted to balkanize Iraq. So ISIS was basically doing exactly what his strategy talked about. Okay. So all I'm saying is, this is who these people are. And then Biden basically, what, in 2020, he comes out and says, if you're not black, you don't vote for me. And a week later, George Floyd gets killed. And all of a sudden you have, you know, these big protests on race and all this. Like, it's just so disgusting to me, like how obvious these politicians are.
The only thing I have a problem with through all this bullshit is that just a little while ago, this lady, Marjorie Taylor Greene, started like saying that freaking, or basically like agreed, Jewish people are shooting laser beams, government's drinking baby blood, you know what I mean? 9/11 wasn't real. Following those kids that went through the shooting, saying they're actors, it's not even real. And then, I believe just yesterday, now that she's getting sworn into whatever job or the other day, she goes and like backtracks and all that and goes like, nah, but that was yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, get over the shit. Yeah, I got your puppy. That was like fucking this afternoon, man. Let's move forward. Okay, so it was a little weird. Some of that shit just kind of bugged me, man. But go for it.
9/11 happened the way that the government told you
that. I'm glad, because this is where I wanted to go with it, man. Absolutely not, dude. Absolutely not. To me, it made no fucking sense whatsoever.
So why can't she say that?
You know, but the thing was, I think the way she says it is like, well, you know what? I actually almost agree with the fact that it might not have been an airplane that hit the Pentagon. I never saw the shit. You know what I mean? Even though there might have been like a tail end video. I do believe it was an inside job. I do believe there was a lot of bombs going off. What the hell are other buildings falling down for? You know what I'm saying? What the fuck?
Tower 7.
Like, for real, why are other buildings falling down? Like, that really doesn't fucking make sense, dude. You're going to drop two buildings, number one, okay, fine. And you want to blow out the infrastructure, even though people are clearly telling you that bombs are going off. Firemen are like, yes. And then we heard explosions in the lobby. You know what I mean? Like, they're savage it. So, yeah. And when you see that crap and it's so impactful, you want to say that it was somebody else. And how crazy of a concept is it just to do something that's psychotic so that you can go and take over oil or money or whatever fucking thing you want, right? Make it look okay. To me, I almost agree with her on that level, but to say it didn't happen is kind of bizarre. But anyway, man, rock and roll.
How do you know that she said, wait, how do you know she said that? Or did the media say that?
I think the media said that and I'm just going with what the hell I heard.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I'm just telling you, like, I don't watch media because I know they lie. So why don't, if someone's a liar, let's say like, I know this person's a liar, right? You think I'm going to sit there and listen to him?
Yeah. No.
Really? Really? Let's go back to common sense. Marco, let's go back to common sense, man. We said at the beginning, common sense is in the house now. I'm bringing common sense to people. This guy is a liar, a notorious liar. I'm going to go sit and have a conversation with this person. I'm going to be like, oh, so-and-so told me. No, I'll be like, no, he's a proven liar. He's a notorious liar. I don't listen to him. I go in, if I want to find something out, I look into it myself.
So what do you think actually had, like, what do you think, if you want to spend a couple more minutes on this, what do you think 9/11 was even about? Do you believe that it was an inside job?
It was beyond inside. It was inside, outside. It was a complete operation from head. It was one of the biggest coup d'etats in American history. I mean, there's a few things that you can point to and say for a fact that this indicates the level of it. The problem is, first of all, you have to understand the world is not what we think it is. Okay, it's not what we think it is. There, we literally have secret space programs. We have deep underground bases.
Oh, okay. We're getting there, man. We have
technology that people don't understand. Like they think, let me put it like this. Right now, my friend has a camera that he can, you can shoot real time. In the camera, you can see a helicopter flying and landing in the camera, real time. But there's no, it's a street. He can shoot the street and the street is empty, but his camera has a helicopter coming and landing. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what we can do with movie magic now.
Yeah.
You don't think that the government and the black programs and the various elements within our, within this trillion plus dollar government has had this technology for decades.
Oh, long.
Anything that comes to us has been there for decades.
It was even thought that it could have. Yeah, man. This has been going on for
right. So all I'm getting at is when they have, like, you know, how do you say, when it comes to conspiracies and whatnot, they have technology. They have a computer algorithm. They have computers, smart computers, AI computers, supercomputers that can be coordinating an event like 9/11 because it takes a huge amount of coordination, right? To get something like 9/11 to work. But at the end of the day, what we know doesn't work is, as you said, Tower 7 coming down at free fall.
It doesn't make any sense, man.
As buildings 1 and 2, both of which came out at the same speed, neither of which was it the same way. Now, it's just like, think about the logic of that, right?
There's
buildings,
yeah.
Right?
And it looked like a demolition, dude, like a controlled. I lived in Vegas. I was like front row when the frontier went down. I'm going like, damn, like that's how the fucking thing looked, dude. You know what I mean? It's just, it's sad, man.
Like, goodbye common sense, right? Goodbye common sense. I know an architect, I'm sorry, an engineer. His dad is an architect. He's like, listen, my background's in engineering. My father's an architect. He's like, as soon as I saw the towers, he said he was watching it from a foreign country. He goes, I thought I was watching a movie. And I'm like, oh, they're demoing the buildings. He's like, then he realized, he's like, that's the Twin Towers. He's like, oh my God, that someone just demoed it. And he didn't realize it was a terror attack because he was like, architecturally and engineering wise,
it makes sense. Can't
get that complete collapse of like severing of the crossbar. I mean, how
pancake, do you call it? Pancake down. Like, yeah, perfect. It was just absolutely perfect. No, that really did trip me the hell out, man. I'm not going to lie, man. I actually remember that day. Weirdest day ever, dude. It's like 6:37 in the morning. I don't remember. My mom, I used to live at their house, right? My mom's banging on my door. Marco, we are under attack. back? I'm like, what? I turn on the news and I'm just catching the second plane hit. Long story short, later on that day, I went to a doctor's appointment, met Ray Manzarek from the Doors, and had a dope ass conversation about that shit with him for like an hour while he was waiting for his wife to come out of like some skin doctor. And like, it didn't make sense to him. And if it didn't make sense to him, I'm happy it didn't make sense to me, man. I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Like, he was smart, man. Ray was pretty smart, yeah, right?
Ray was cool as hell, man. And then I had him sign an autograph, Two Treason, Ray Manzarek from the Doors. Yeah, man. No, but that was absolutely freaking nuts. Anyway, so like moving on.
Yeah, but like why was 9/11? 9/11 was done, I think, for so many reasons, but the financial aspect is something that people have never gotten to the bottom of. But I think the financial aspect is something critical, because at the end of the day, it's like, there's a book called Black 9/11, and I recommend it. And I think there's a documentary in conjunction with it. But essentially, you have to figure out why financially the World Trade Centers were targeted, right? There was gold that was taken out of there, but the companies that were hit, that were targeted, like Eurobrokers, Cantor, there were three companies specifically that were hit in that process. And I think it has to do with those financial transactions, there was basically like evidence. Think about it like this. When Escobar wanted to get rid of the Justice Department in Colombia, remember they had a whole room of files and evidence piled up on him, and they were gonna prosecute him, right? Escobar hired one of the FARCs, the guerrillas, to go and firebomb the Justice Department. And they do is they blow up the whole thing, but really it was just to get rid of the evidence on Escobar. Think of 9/11 in those terms, remember? Think of it like financially, but sometimes it's about mixture of events. Like at one level, it's hiding evidence, shredding paper. Remember, that's the days before digital, when things were paper, right?
I mean, it's right on the cusp.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that.
Right
in
that. There, that little ivory, man.
Yeah, but it eventually, 9/11 cleared the playing field for everything that happens in the 2000 time period, right? The wars on terror, the security state, the Patriot Act, the fascism, the total takeover. You see, 2020 is an escalation of that. But you go back to, man, I'm like you, we go back to the 80s and 90s, man. This to us is like, what the fuck? This is not America. America is a free country. And all of a sudden you can't, it's not a free country. All of a sudden people are okay with just being like, oh, the government told me to do this, I got to do that. No, what the fuck? We're supposed to be a free country where the government doesn't have the right to tell you to walk around with a fucking mask on or to do this and not good, you know, not assemble, not have free speech, not have religion, whatever it is. Like, this is just strange to anyone that has a memory of the pre-2001 event.
It is beyond strange, man. Like, I don't even know how to put it into words. I myself am a cancer survivor. 2 years of Hodgkin's lymphoma, which was great, but I survived it. So I've got a little bit of that issue going on. I've never, and like even going through that, man, I thought I was going to die multiple times, but even going through that, that wasn't as bizarre as what the last about 13 months were in my fucking life, man. This is shit. And I've actually been relatively healthy outside of a 5-day, you know, cappuccino with fucking COVID, but like other than that, you know what I mean? It was, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm friends with one of the coaches from the Lakers, you know, and like I want to talk to him about the way the bubble worked out and about all the crap that's really going on professionally, athletically, like just across the board with everybody, you know. It has absolutely shape-shifted everything we all know. Now, you mentioned deep underground military bases. You did, I remember that.
Dumbs.
I've been tripping out on Phil Schneider's interview. You remember Phil Schneider?
Yeah, I mean, I never met the guy. I think he passed away before I got a chance. I did Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, if you recall, the final season. And I think Phil was already gone by that point, because we did a little bit about the Dumbs on one of those episodes.
Yeah, no, I'm full blown invested in this crap, man. Like when I was here's a fucking funny story, really. When I was 18 or 19, something like that, I grew up in Jesus Christ. I've got an alien in the room. Hold on. Here, I'll tell you from here. Come here, you little bastard.
I'm here. I hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, for sure.
Kobe, come here. Oh, come here.
Go away.
I got it. All right. So, go run to the hills. All right. So if I leave him outside, he just loses his mind. I can't even shower alone. He won't leave me alone. But anyway, So it was like 18, 19, and it was on the east side of Honolulu. Just, it was somewhere around Waimanalo, just past, you know, Huaikai. And it's the middle of the night, me and my buddies walk up on top of my friend's roof, and we're just staring up into the sky. And out of the blue, bro, like out of the blue, man, not a firework, not an anything, a green sphere appears right in the middle of the sky, shoots that way, lights up a cloud, and then takes the fuck off into the, like, the horizon. That changed my life, man. Because I, to this day, can't explain it. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the beauty, man. That's the wake-up call. That's,
dude, like, I was like, you know, what the fuck was that? So
this is the moment. Yeah, I just say this is the moment where you either say, oh, that was an anomaly, or you realize, no, that's reality.
No, that's straight up reality, dude. And all of us saw it. Nobody could figure it out. You know, like, I'm used to fireworks in Hawaii. We have like Chinese New Year and fucking Friday fireworks. But that, my friend, was as unique as I've ever seen in my life. So anyway, going forward, so the Pentagon actually released 3 videos, right? I don't know what the hell they're actually called. Tic Tac, Super Fast, and some other thing where the thing rotates. I don't want to keep you too long, man, but this is one of the subjects that intrigued me more than you could possibly imagine. What do you think, dude? What do you think?
I think it's a lot of things. I think that there is, the secret space program, I mean, wow, man, we know that the government's been involved with experimentation and research in the everything from the psychic realms, you know, remote viewing, mind control, that kind of stuff, to the actual physical reverse engineering of alien craft. I mean, Area 51 was all about that.
Bob Lazar, I was going to bring him up too, man. You and Bob Lazar, yeah. Crazy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there's, you know, there's a long history of this going back to the World War II and that, and the end of that war. I mean, the technology that we've had, if people think about it, just, I would put it like this. You really think that since World War II, and then we had like rockets, and I mean, the Germans had V2 rockets, and essentially that whole propulsion system hasn't been evolved. We have no evolution of technology for what, going on 80 years now? Is that, we're really supposed to believe that? Like nothing has evolved since then? I mean, you talk about people like Tesla, you talk about even, there was a Chauberger, I think, who's doing like, he was doing work with trying to understand how salmon could move upstream. And his whole thing was like, you know, there's propulsion systems and it's more of like a vortical energy principle, right? And that's why a lot of the craft use, you know, they create vortices with like circular, how do you say, it's more of a circular motion.
Apparently, and so, somehow, yeah.
And so the government has their own craft.
It omits inertia. Somehow you're gonna hit speed so quick. So like, I don't know if you ever heard of this fucking guy, Viktor Gerkennikoff or some shit like that. He made a flying platform, supposedly. Look him up online, man. Google him. Viktor, I think, Gerkennikoff or something. Out of June bug wings. You ever hear about this shit?
I don't think so.
You're going to have some fun. So apparently June bug wings propel each other and it's some wild shit. Anyway, look at it. We made a flying platform. It was mind boggling. But point being is, as far as what the government's releasing, at least there's a chance that they're actually accepting some shit. And I myself am a huge believer that we are not alone. And at the same time, they're living here right now, man. Like, I honestly feel that crap. Maybe I'm alone. Maybe this is one of them. I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking one of them. But like,
we are. I mean, we definitely, I don't believe that our ancestry is from this earth. I think we're born in the stars. I mean, obviously we know that we are stardust, but I do believe that our consciousness connects us to oftentimes past lives that are not on this planet. Like that
Phil Schneider thing flipped me out, man. There's another guy, I think, here, let me look at his name real quick. Phil Schneider, Gerald Anderson, and obviously freaking Travis Walton. But Gerald Anderson, that one's an even weirder one. You got to look this guy up too, man. He was apparently like 6 years old or something when it crashed, or when the Roswell thing actually happened. Uh-huh. And he was going for a walk with his dad and his brother or something like that, and they came upon the craft. And apparently there were like 2 or 3 dead, whatever you want to call the fuckers, you know, dead aliens or whatever, dead ETs. And one of them, who was sitting right next to him under the craft's like front, I don't know what you call it all. It looked like a, I don't know, saucer, I guess. But anyway, they end up sitting with the thing for a really long time. And here's the irony to this shit. There's this other guy Glenn something, Glenn Anderson. I don't know. There's some other fucking guy. But they both have, at separate times, the same story when it comes to the two officers that actually interrogated everybody. It was one black guy and a really pissed off redheaded lieutenant. And for some dumb reason, it coincides. Now, for me, I'm sitting here going like, look, I watched the Bob Lazar thing. I, you know, Element 115 can fucking do all this. But like this Phil Schneider guy is talking about like Element 140 and like 10 million degrees can handle this and that and the other and all this crap, right? For me, I would like to at least wrap my brain around what is it that the government is afraid of and how slowly but surely it's actually coming out. So like, I mean, the Blink 182 guy, fucking whatever his name is. Yeah, you know, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, DeLong.
Yeah, he's like part of the reason that they actually admitted to this shit. But anyway, man, just thoughts, comments, go for it, dude. I can ramble on this all day.
I believe disclosure is coming. Disclosure is certainly part of this, you know, part of this time period. You know, it's like that Israeli scientist that came out recently. He was like one of the heads of their space program for a long time. He's an older man, and he's like, I'm just gonna say what I know. And yeah, we've been in contact for a long time, and Trump wants to disclose it, but even the Galactic Federation said it's not the time yet.
There's a Galactic Federation.
Huh?
There's a Galactic Federation. I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Panel so bad, dude. That's, well, look, man, I'm in love with that goddamn concept, bro. I'm not even going to lie.
Right.
So, Sean, what's up with you, man? What's next for you? What are you going to be up to, man?
Well, speaking of music, I got a new spoken word poetry album that's out called Alien Spirit. And it's very beautiful, cosmic poetry with very ethereal music. I think people will enjoy it. And then, you know, beyond that, I mean, I got a poetry book as well called The Ephemeral Shades of Time. And beyond that, I'm just, you know, plugging away, doing some writing, you know, can't disclose too much, you know, until we can release some things.
So the Galactic Federation okays it, man.
yeah, exactly. They okayed the alien spirit. So
Well, look, man, I don't want to take too much of your time, bro. Like, we definitely need to do this again. You're one of the coolest people I've talked to in a hell of a long time, man.
I appreciate it, you know.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, is this your first your
Zoom. This is the first time I've ever used Zoom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm thinking is your kickoff episode or?
Oh, no, I interviewed my aunt, Rudy Sarzo, Ron Jeremy, but I don't know if I should use Ron Jeremy's footage because Ron Jeremy's footage is a little fucked up, you know, because of the simple fact that he's in jail being accused.
I saw that. Yeah, he got busted. Actually, I did a movie with him called The Fury of the Fist and the Golden Fleece, and that's a lot of fun, actually. It's got like a lot of cameos. Ron Jeremy had one little cameo. Michael Dudikoff, Donald Dragon Wilson, Timok from Last Dragon, just like an awesome, awesome cast. Bill Goldberg, the wrestler. So it's definitely worth a watch if you're into like wild and crazy, wacky movies.
I'm all about it, man. And actually, like hanging out with the guy, he's cool. I'd rather it not be true, but I don't know what people do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. No, like this is my first Zoom vibe. You know what I mean? Like I'd rather this be in person. I'd even fly out to Miami for a weekend, but this whole social distancing thing is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
There's no 6 feet apart here. You know, everyone's on the beach, we're out in the streets, you know, we live our life.
LA.
The sooner you expose yourself and let your system adapt, you know, the great thing about this is that most people are asymptomatic, meaning that it's not affecting most people that are contracting it, which means that you adapt. And that's how evolution works. Nice. Human society for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years has been contracting new germs, new viruses, new colds, assimilating it, adapting, and evolving. You know,
I love it. I'm releasing a metal album under the name Kalia Road, which is, long story, street we used to live on in Oahu. One of our songs is Evolution, which I wrote, and it's on me. But we've got a really cool lineup, man. So I don't know, do you like metal? Are you into metal at all?
I like the old school. I love the old school, like Dokken and Iron Maiden and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Opened up for Donnie one time, and this was a shitty experience too, because they're like, Marco, you want to take a picture with Donnie? And I'm like, yeah, where is he? He's like right next to me. I didn't know it was him. I'm like, oh, hey, oh, shit. All right, cool, man. Looked a little different.
Awesome.
But anyway, man, you are the guy. You are the guy. You know that. So what's the name of the podcast? What? How can we find you online doing your thing?
Oh, just go to seanstone.info. It's the best place to find all my work.
All right, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put my dog down. And my friend, dude, I don't know how to thank you enough. I can hug you through the screen.
No worries, bro.
I had a good time, man. I definitely did. I will talk to you later, bro. You fucking rock the hell out of it.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, man. General Population, Sean Stone. Check it out. Everything he just said, everything we just talked about. Look into it. I'll talk to you, my friend.
Yeah, brother. Be well, huh? Blessings.
Hey, Sheila.